Greetings in Jesus' name to each of you. I was going to say, try and say the name of the church here, but I might stumble on that one. But you'll forgive me. Kootenai Valley, is that right?
That's right.
Oh, wow. God bless you for coming out tonight. My wife, Naomi, and I certainly count it a great honor and a great privilege to come into your midst, to be invited into your midst. And I want to thank you right up front for your love and your prayers, knowing that we had a little bump in the road with my wife and with a little accident we had in Thailand, which resulted in being a little bigger than we intended. And the fact that it looked there for quite some time, she could not come. She's only been able to, and she's not going to like when I do this, but I know you're wondering. She's only been able to comb her own hair since this past Saturday morning. She cried her way through the whole thing, but by the grace of God and her determination and her deliberateness, she is now able to do that. And thank you for your love and prayers. Now, I came to preach, not comb my wife's hair, okay? So I'm grateful she's here. That's what I'm saying. I love taking her with me as the Lord provides opportunity. And as I look across your faces here, I've been trying to find a few familiar faces. I have not been too successful. I really haven't. And you're probably saying, well, you're a stranger to us too. Well, that's all right. If you don't know me, I'm promising you, you're not missing very much. Now, there's a few in here know me. You can hold your amens at this time, okay? But I'm here to tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're missing everything. Amen? And we want to grow in our walk with Him and our knowing Him beginning tonight. So, again, I'm honored and privileged to be here. Thank you for your love and prayers. I'm going to go right into the message here this evening. I invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 15, a very familiar text. And whenever I go out in doing these pastoral training conferences, they're ready and willing to honor the Word. Whenever we look at a text of Scripture, they like to stand in honor to the Word of God. And so I invite you tonight to stand to your feet, and we're going to read John chapter 15, thank you. We're only going to look at a few verses here and just pull a few beautiful truths out of it. Beginning in verse 1, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Going to cease reading there. Let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gospel according to the Lord Jesus Christ as we have it here in the first 8 verses. And I pray, Father, that you would break the bread of life to your dear people here this evening. Speak through your servant. Stand with me in the pulpit of God. Wash me in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may your spirit and your power have free course tonight here among us as we look at these beautiful verses that you have spoken to us, your disciples, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you. As I prayed, my dear people, this really is the gospel according to the Lord Jesus Christ. As I get around and travel in many places and many countries and many churches, I'm amazed what Christianity has made the gospel, or what Christianity puts a focus on. In fact, let's say it this way. If I would ask you tonight, what is the crux of the matter of being a Christian? I wonder what your response would be. At the end of the day, what is the most important thing in being a Christian? I'm not going to ask you to respond. I'm sure that if I would ask you, you would have many different answers. We have made Christianity many, many different things. So I get to different churches, I get to notice and observe, and I'm talking about world over, the focus that churches put on what it really means to be a Christian. Some things outward, others inward, spiritually speaking. But here Jesus gives us the gospel according to the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear people, do we really know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I really have an intimate personal relationship with him? Do I press through this book into an intimate, vital, personal relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? We sing that song sometimes, "Break Thou the Bread of Life." And in that song, there's a little phrase, I think it's in the second verse, it says, "Beyond this sacred page, I seek him." It's not enough to do all the outward things that we do. They may be good, they are good. Things like turning away from sin, things like, I could go on and on and on. But the true Christian life is much more than just turning away from sin. As needful and necessity as that is, Jesus here clearly gives us a beautiful picture of what it really means to be a Christian. The husbandman here is God the Father. The true vine is the Lord Jesus Christ. The branch is a disciple or an individual that follows the Lord Jesus. And what I'm going to be focusing on is primarily verse 4, where he says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me." Now what he's really talking about is a vital, intimate, connected relationship with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ. The branch having a vital, intimate, connected relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I like to use illustrations, and before the service started, I looked up and I seen those fans were not running. But something has happened since then. Now they are going around. Now, let me just use a story to help you understand what I'm talking about. We live in a world that talks a lot about being connected, connected to the electrical source, like the fans. Before they were turning, I mean, those fans, they had all the beautiful outward form. They had a lot of potential. A fan, the fruit of a fan, is to make air, correct? Easy enough. But the fan in itself can do nothing. It must be connected to the power source. Without the connection of the power source, it can look good, it can say, everything can look right, and everything can be beautiful. It has a lot of potential, but not until the power is connected does it bring forth fruit, air. A number of years ago, actually it's not so long ago, I was in India, and I was preaching from John chapter 15, and I was using this illustration, how that without being connected to Jesus Christ as our power source, using the electricity as an example, like I just did on the fans, Without that connection, nothing. And about that time, pow! Everything got dark.
What?
You should have heard the audience. And this was not prior arranged. It was a divine intervention. You looked out the windows, all the lights were on, and you looked out, the street lights were on, the houses next door, the lights were on. And I love when God gives the perfect illustration, as he did this time. And then I asked the congregation, as all the phones and flashlights came out to bring a little light, and I asked the congregation, what has happened? They said, the power is gone. And that's right. That's what Jesus is teaching. And about that time, pow, they came back on again. And as I said, it was nothing prior arranged. Later on, the janitors and the people of the church, they said, there was no explanation for that. None whatsoever. That was God making a point. And the point was, without that connection with him, we can do nothing, just as Jesus says here. Oh, we can do many things. We can go to church, and we can teach Sunday school, and we can do many things, but we can do nothing that brings him glory. They said they checked the electrical box, and they did everything they said. There was no explanation why it went off, and there was no explanation why it came on. But the point is this, my dear people. Without that intimate, vital connection with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. We cannot bring forth fruit, as he says in verse 2. Also in verse 2, we cannot bring forth more fruit. Also in verse 5, we cannot bring forth much fruit. Ultimately, God is interested in our lives bringing forth much fruit. Fruit that brings him honor and glory. And that fruit can only grow as the branch is connected to the vine of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the life of Christ flows out of the vine through the branch and pushes out the fruit through that vital, intimate, connected relationship with Jesus. In verse 4, he's speaking about a union communion relationship. If I was to title this message, perhaps I would title it a union communion relationship with Jesus. A union is speaking about the connection. The communion is the vital intimacy, the life, the power, the grace, the love, the goodness, the mercy, all them wonderful attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ flowing from the vine through the branch into my life, you and I being the branch, and pushing out much fruit. Fruit that brings honor and glory to him. Fruit that will remain. Fruit that goes on and on and on. And other souls being brought to Christ and disciples being made through our lives. Fruit that remains. He says that in verse 16. Now, having said all that, a union communion relationship, what does this look like? That's where I'm going to go tonight. And before I get going too much, I got to get cooled off. I hope that's okay. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not only our Savior and Redeemer. He is. Amen. Praise God. But in all things, he is also our example. In all things, my dear people, including a union communion relationship. Jesus Christ modeled this before he ever said these words, or as he said these words. We're going to look at the union communion relationship that Jesus had. And out of that, we're going to look at our own lives. Do I have the kind of union communion relationship with Jesus that Jesus had? I invite you now to move to the gospel, to also the writings of John in 1 John, not the gospel of John, 1 John, chapter 2. We're going to grab one verse before we take this apart. Verse 6. Actually, I'm going to drop in at verse 4. He that saith, I know him, notice, he that saith, I know him. He that saith, I am a Christian, I'm looking at verse 4, he that saith, I'm a believer, he that says that I'm a disciple of Jesus, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, hereby know we that we are in him. Now verse 6 is the key verse. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Let me paraphrase that, verse 6, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. What Jesus is saying, he that saith, I know him, he that saith that I am a disciple of Jesus, he ought to walk also even as Jesus walked. What he's saying is, he that saith that he is a Christian ought to walk as Jesus walked. Now the question comes to us in thinking about that, did Jesus need to have a union communion relationship? Yeah, you may nod your head and give me a good Mennonite amen. That's all right. Did Jesus need to have a union communion relationship as he walked on earth? Yes, this verse clearly teaches us that he did. If you and I proclaim to know Christ and proclaim to be a Christian, we ought to walk as he walked when he walked on earth. That's what this verse is teaching us. Now we want to think about the Lord Jesus Christ as our example of a union, communion relationship. Stop with me just for a moment and think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, but also our example, he's 100% God. And he's also 100% man. The Bible teaches us that there in 1 Timothy, Paul said there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Hebrews tells us that Jesus came as Abraham's seed. That means he came as a man in the flesh. He's man, but he's also 100% God. Now, how does this all come together? Well, I'm not here to suggest to you I have it all figured out, but we do know that Philippians chapter 2 teaches us that he emptied himself, the Philippians chapter 2 clearly teaches us, let me just go there to get the right word for a moment here now, that word has left me, but it's the kenosis, the Greek word, he made himself no reputation, that word is kenosis, it literally means that Jesus emptied himself, he emptied his equalness with the Father, and he became a willing volunteer, and he was made in the likeness of men, it tells us in verses that follow in Philippians chapter 2, and he became a servant, a slave to the Father. So, Philippians 2 clearly teaches us that Jesus emptied himself of his equalness with the Father as a volunteer. So that leaves him 100% man. Now, he's still God because he's a volunteer. He did it voluntarily. Think about whenever they came to arrest Jesus, Peter, he whips out his sword. He goes after the servant that was arresting Jesus. He's aiming for his neck. But Peter, he's a fisherman. His sword aim, it's very poor. And so Malchus, the servant, soldier, he whips his head down and shoop, takes off the ear, and of course we know the story, how that Jesus put the ear back on, he miraculously healed it back on, but then Jesus told Peter, put away your sword, he that carries the sword, or he that fights with the sword is going to die with the sword, And then Jesus said, don't you know that I could call 72,000 angels and be delivered? Now, what was Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, I'm a man, and I'm a volunteer, but I'm still God. I could take back my equalness with the Father whenever I would want to. 12 legions of angels is 72,000 angels. And he could have been delivered. And he could have been set free, but he would not, because he was a volunteer to come and pay for humanity's sin, for your sin and my sin. It was man that sinned, and a man had to die to pay the penalty of sin. And so Jesus is the God-man. But what I'm saying to you is the fact that Jesus Christ voluntarily emptied himself. Thank you, brother. He emptied himself and became a volunteer, and he at any time could have taken it back. But that leaves Jesus 100% man. 100% man. How did he do and walk on earth? His walk of perfection. He never sinned. Now, I don't believe that Jesus had the sin nature in him because he was conceived of the Holy Ghost in Mary's womb. And so he did not have the sin nature as you and I do. But he's still 100% man, and he could have sinned. But how did Jesus walk above sin? And not only how did Jesus walk and live his life above sin and all of his walk on earth, how did Jesus Christ do all those miracles? How did Jesus Christ always meet every need as a man? You see, we excuse his walk of perfection and we say he was God. Wrong theology. Wrong theology results in wrong living. He is our example. And we ought to walk as he walked. That's in a dangerous place. Not looking to baptize anybody on the front row. I do that on purpose because I already did that. Not here, but other place. So how did Jesus Christ walk his walk of perfection as a man? He did it through a union, communion relationship with the Father. If we excuse and we say, oh, well, he walked his walk of perfection. He walked his walk of meeting everybody's need. He walked his walk of living above sin because he was God. Well, then how shall we walk as he walked, as John the writer says in John chapter 2, the verse we just looked at? If Jesus had something that you and I don't have, more than 20 times in the gospel, Jesus says, follow me. How can we follow him if he had something you and I don't have? We can't. Amen? He's 100% man. And he needed to abide in the Father just as we ought to abide in him. And in so doing, we're not Christ, no. But that's how we can accomplish and bring forth fruit. Much fruit. As he commissions us to do in John chapter 15, where we began. Now, we're still going to look at what does this look like in Jesus' life. And I invite you to look at your life. Do I really know him? Do I walk as he walked? Well, he was on earth. Let's begin by looking at this more carefully and go to Isaiah chapter 50. Here the evangelical prophet Isaiah gives us some prophetic verses of what Jesus' walk on earth as a man looks like. What it looked like. Verse 4. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season. To him that is weary, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. This is a prophetic verse that gives us a picture of Jesus' life as he walked on earth. as a man. The first thing I want you to see, he would wake up morning by morning, it tells us. He awakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. Jesus would wake up in the morning, and his ear would be towards heaven. Good morning, Papa. Morning, Papa. Papa, where am I going today? It's all right to talk that way. We're talking about an intimate relationship. Amen? I found somebody I know. Talking about an intimate personal relationship. Papa, where are we going today? Papa, where do you want me to speak a word for the weary today? Notice, morning by morning, say, my brother, my sister, my friend, what do you wake up in the morning with on your mind, on your heart? What do I wake up in the morning with? Morning by morning, we're talking about a union communion relationship. He would wake up to hear, mine ear to hear. Jesus always had his ear towards heaven. Papa, Papa, where are we going today? Papa, where are we going to minister today? Sometimes Papa would say, I want you to walk 50 miles from the region of Galilee to the northern regions where there's a Syrophoenician woman has one need to meet a need of a daughter. 50 miles. And if you study the scripture, he turned right around and he walked 50 miles back. How did he know there was one woman's daughter who was not even a Jew to meet the need? Papa had ministered to him and said, I want you to go up there and meet that need. Morning by morning, he has an ear turned towards heaven, talking about a union communion relationship. And then Jesus would follow. He tells us here that he never rebelled. In other words, he never turned his back. He never neglected this relationship, the union communion relationship. He spoke as the tongue of the learned. Well, the words that he got from the Father through the union communion relationship. Remember, he's a man. He's just like you. He doesn't have the sin nature in his blood, but he's a man just like you and I. How did he meet all those needs? He always had a word in season. He never stumbled. He never fumbled. He knew exactly what to say. He knew exactly what to do. Very different than me. I don't always know what to say, and I don't know how to say it, and I don't know how to do it. But he did. Where did he get it? He had a union communion relationship with his Father, and he never neglected it. This is the gospel according to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the vine. Ye are the branch. And without that intimate vital connection with me, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing. Thank you, brother. And in this way, Jesus spoke beautiful words in season to those that are weary. You see, if we're ever going to have a ministry that we can speak into people's lives, if we have a word for the weary, if we have a word of encouragement, can only come through the union communion relationship. And this is the fruit that he's talking about that brings others to Christ. Much fruit, not a little fruit, much fruit. And through the union communion relationship. And in that union communion relationship, Isaiah 50 clearly teaches us, needs were met. He spoke a word for those that were in need, or those that were weary. Now, what does this really look like in Jesus' life? Let's get even a little more practical. Here in Isaiah 50, we clearly have a picture of his walk on earth as a man. But now let's get a little more practical. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's follow this. In Mark chapter 1. Jesus begins his day, verse 16. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, or come and follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. In other words, he chose his disciple, and straightway those men forsook their nets and they followed him. And then we, in the same chapter, verse 21, now he goes to Capernaum and he teaches in the synagogue, and he taught, and they were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 22, as he taught them as one that had authority. Remember, it's coming through his union, communion relationship with the Father. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he delivered the demonic in verse 23 on there, some more verses. And they were all amazed, and the unclean spirits were driven out. And they were all amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine, verse 27, is this? They had never seen it this way. He spoke with authority, and people's needs were met. The demons were driven out, and the demonic possessed people were set free through a union-communion relationship. But let's not stop there. Fame spread about him in the regions round about Galilee, verse 28. Verse 29, now and forthwith they were came out from the synagogue. They entered into the house of Simon, Andrew, with James and John, and he healed Peter's wife's mother. Notice, all this ministry that Jesus is doing through his union-communion relationship. And now it is evening time. Verse 32, and at evening when the sun did set, we began in the morning, and now it's evening, and they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And they came from the city, all the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. So here is we followed the Lord Jesus through an intense day of ministry. And remember, Jesus is a man. He's made of flesh and blood. He gets hungry. He gets tired. And I don't know how many of you have ever been involved in that kind of intense ministry, William. Pastors, I don't even know who the pastors are here. And that's all right. Deacons, whoever you are. That kind of intense ministry takes a lot of virtue out of you. He's a man, and Jesus, at the end of the day, he walks out through the eastern gate, he goes down through the Kidron Valley, he goes up into the Mount of Gethsemane, where there were lots of caves. Jesus didn't sleep at night in the city. It was risky for him, so he would go into one of those caves, and he would lay down in a cave, and he with a pillow, as a stone as his pillow, and he would finally have some time to get some rest for his weary, weary body. And now he's had a very intense, busy day. It's the next morning he's going to sleep in, right? Perhaps that's what you would do. Perhaps that's what I would do. Boy, I'm going to sleep in. That was a rough day. Demons delivered. Peter's mother-in-law healed. And on we could go. Wow, I'm going to sleep in and take a good long rest. No. Verse 35. Thank you. I like what I see. When I said verse 35, I thought you're all going to be praying. You all look down at your Bibles. That's great. I like that. You're following in the Scripture. That's wonderful. God bless you. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. What time is that? And don't tell me 6 o'clock or 7, okay? You know, I don't even know what time it gets daylight here. Now, you may help me here. What time is a great while before day here in Kootenai Valley? 5. Thank you, William. He got up early. Why? Because he would never rebel or resist in any way neglect that union communion relationship with the Father. He knew that without it, he could do nothing. And so a great while before day, rising up, he went out and departed into a solitary place. For you IGO students, I think there should be 3 of them in here. Alumni, I don't know where they are. I see one. He started with solitude. A morning of solitude. What was he doing? He was maintaining that vital, intimate, connected relationship with God the Father. He knew without that he could do nothing. Absolutely nothing as the man. So he never neglected it. Do we understand what this union-communion relationship looks like? But you know what? It didn't only happen in the morning. That was where he started, yes. And that's where you and I ought to start too. Give Jesus, give our Lord Jesus our quality time, not leftover time. Intimate relationship, intimate time with him, hearing from him. Did not Jesus say, in John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow. That's what Jesus did as our example in an intimate union communion relationship with the Father. Then he would follow him. But it didn't just through the morning. In the morning, he would walk with the Father all day long. I want to show that to you. Let's look at a few more scriptures here. John, let's go now to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John clearly gives this picture in a way that many of the other Gospels do not. But in John chapter 5, verse 26, Jesus says these words. John chapter 5, verse 26, for as the Father has life in him, self, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now think about it. What Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying as the Father has life, that same life the Son has as he walked on earth. So Jesus Christ, as he walked on earth, in his intimate union communion relationship with the Father, as he walked through the day, whose life did you see? You didn't see Jesus' life. You seen the Father's life. You seen who the Father is. Jesus Christ is the expressed image of God the Father. You want to know what God the Father is like and what God expects of you and I in our knowing him? Walk with Jesus through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus Christ is the life of the Father. Jesus Christ is the expressed image of the Father. Everything Jesus did, he never rebelled. He always did according to the Father's will. In fact, he says that in John chapter 6, and my Bible is just over on the next page. In John chapter 6, verse 38, he says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. What does God the Father expect from you and I? Not to do our own will, not to go our own way, but to do his will, to accomplish his passion, to accomplish his purpose. And Jesus Christ came for one sole purpose, and that is to seek and save the lost. Now, yes, he also came to pay for the ransom of our sin debt. If we're ever going to do his will, my dear people, that means my will must die. My will must be yielded. My will, more times than not, stands in stark contrast to God's will. Jesus Christ also had a will. He was a man. But he says, I didn't come down to do my own will. He says, I came only for one purpose, and that was to do the will of my Father. Now, I don't believe that Jesus' will was bent towards sin, perhaps like ours is, but he could have sinned. That's why Satan tempted him 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. He could have sinned, but he would not sin. He rebuked the devil, and he worshiped the Lord and served the Lord. As it is written, he always rebuked the devil with the word of God. But he always did his Father's will. What does this union communion relationship look like? Doing his will. And may his life. Do people see Jesus in me? Do people see Jesus in you? As we're connected to him, as he was connected to the Father. Now let's jump over to chapter 5, verse 30. If you are struggling with believing that Jesus was 100% man, and he did everything as a man through his union, communion, relationship with the Father, I invite you to consider verse 30. John chapter 5, verse 30. He says, these are the words of Jesus. He says, I can of mine own self do what? Nothing. Jesus said that. And by the way, he said that about you and I back where we began, didn't he? In John chapter 15. He said the same thing. that you can't do nothing without me. And here he says, I can't do nothing either. He's a man. And we ought to follow his example. But now he also answers the question how he did what he did here in John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. Notice, as I hear. Isaiah 50, where we began a little earlier. As I hear, he says in verse 30, I judge. I make a decision, or I speak. And he says, my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will. The judgment that I speak is not my will, but rather it's the will of the Father which has sent me. Let me illustrate it. John chapter 8. Jesus has been ministering. Some Pharisees there. And as he's ministering there, early in the morning, there's those that have caught a woman in adultery. And those accusers, they had stones in their hands because they knew what the Old Testament law said. And they came to Jesus with those stones in their hands. They said, Jesus! Jesus! The law says, this woman shall be stoned to death. What do you say? Now, they were tempting him. I realize that. But what did Jesus do? You see, Jesus as a man, he knew also what the law said. And they said exactly what the law said. So what did Jesus do? He gets down and he writes on the ground. Papa, Papa. We focus on what he wrote on the ground. The Bible doesn't tell us what he wrote on the ground. That's not the issue. The issue is what's going on here is the fact that they used the scripture to try and trap Jesus, Old Testament scripture. They tried to trap him. He's a man. He's like you and I. He doesn't know what to say. So as I hear, he's writing on the ground, Papa, Papa, what do I say? He is connected in a union, communion relationship through the day as well. Papa, that's what the law says. Papa, as I hear, I judge. Papa, and the Father speaks into his ear. Papa, son, tell them, he that is without sin shall throw the first stone. Where did he get that? He didn't get that from Scripture. He's a man like you and I. He got that as I hear. I speak. He stands up. He says, you that is without sin, you can throw the first stone. And what happened? It was a word that came right from the Father. It was a word of truth. It was a sharp spirit sword of power. And that word was powerful. It went right into the heart of those accusers because they were sinners themselves. And from the eldest to the youngest, they dropped their stones because they were guilty. As I hear, I judge. Jesus had a union communion relationship with the Father. And therein were needs met. Therein were sinners accused. Therein were others encouraged. A word for the weary. He knew what to say. My dear people, if we're ever going to know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what it looks like as we follow Jesus' example. Jesus says, follow me, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. As I was a fisher of men and met people's needs. One more verse. As I hear, I can of my own self, I'm reiterating on verse 30 of chapter 5, as I can of my own self do nothing, and neither can we, as I hear, I judge, or I speak, and my judgment is just, it's righteous, It meets the need. It speaks to the sinner, and it speaks to the saint, if you would. And Jesus told that sinner woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And it says, why can I speak these words? Because I do not speak my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. You know, you can make the whole message right in that one verse. This is how Jesus did all his wonderful, beautiful ministry as he walked on earth as a man. And Jesus says, follow me. Follow my example. In abiding in a union, communion relationship, in an intimate, vital, connected relationship. Now let's go one more verse yet. John chapter 6. Here Jesus has been ministering to his disciples. And he says in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Jesus Christ is living bread as we partake of him. And what Jesus is giving us here in John chapter 6, verse 51, 52, and 53, he's giving us the same principle we've been hearing in this message. He's speaking about a deep, intimate union, communion relationship with Jesus Christ. He's speaking about knowing him. He's speaking about being connected to him, eating of him. He is life. He is spiritual life. He is spiritual grace. He is spiritual mercy. He is spiritual power, Holy Ghost power. It can only come through the connection. As we know him, his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his power flows through him as the vine into the branch, and thereby fruit is pushed out. But he goes on and he says, the Jews, they strove among themselves. They couldn't receive this, that he is living bread. In verse 53, when Jesus keeps right on going, he said unto them, verily I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. Amen. Amen. If you're not eating of his body and drinking of his blood daily, you have no life in you. These verses, sometimes we struggle with. I struggled and wrestled with these verses a long time. But the truth, what unlocks these verses, my dear people, is over in verse 63. Jesus says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. These words are spiritual. It's not literal bread, and it's not literal blood. It's spiritual. And he's talking about a union communion relationship with him as bread and as life and his blood for cleansing. There's several things that I always pray before I stand in the holy pulpit of God. And that is, number one, I need your power. I need your anointing. I need your grace. I need your power to flow into my life as I stand in the pulpit of God. But there's another thing that I always pray. Lord, wash me in the blood. That's what he's talking about. Being washed. Perhaps a thought that we didn't even mean to transgress the Lord. But we have. Lord, wash me. We see things and we don't want to defile this holy temple, this holy vessel, the temple of God. And we need washing. We need to be cleansed. We need to be purified by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about a connected union relationship with Jesus, partaking of his life as bread, drinking of his blood as cleansing. He's speaking about a union communion relationship in the Spirit. He says in verse 61, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. These are spiritual words. These have spiritual meaning. The flesh profiteth nothing. He's not speaking about the Catholic cracker and drinking of the wine. He's speaking about a spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A partaking of his life. Eating of his life. Partaking of it in a deep, intimate, personal relationship. And partaking of his blood in washing and cleansing throughout the day. as we walk with him, and we follow his example. And he goes, it says that the words that I speak unto you, verse 63, they are spirit, they are life. And without that spirit and life, in partaking of his life and his blood, we have no eternal life in us. Powerful words. And we know if you look at this, you look a little later, verse 66. From that time on, many of disciples went back and walked with him no more. Enter into the context of human existence, religion, religiosity. All the outward form, all the outward, everything looks right, talks right, says all the right words, even takes the bread and the cup at communion time, but no relationship with him. No intimate personal relationship, union, communion relationship with him as Jesus had with the Father. Do I really know him? Do I have the kind of relationship with Jesus as Jesus had with the Father? Clinching verse is found in verse 57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. There it is, the whole message in a nutshell. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that has an intimate relationship with me eateth of me, even so shall live by me. Let me put that verse in a nutshell. What Jesus is saying is, the relationship that I had with the Father on earth, in a union communion relationship, even so, you and I shall live by Jesus in the way that he lived by the Father. He that saith he's a Christian ought to walk as he walked. If anyone ever gets a hold of the grace of God and has an impact on other people's lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, it begins right here. A union communion relationship with Jesus Christ. The enemy will do everything he can to make sure you don't get connected. And I don't get connected. Because he knows that if you and I get connected. And I tell you, we live in a world today. He is throwing things at Christendom like he never has before. It's all around us. He's trying to trip us up. We've got to break through, my dear people. We've got to break through all that clutter and noise that's all around us and press through and have an intimate union, communion relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I promise you, my dear people, it's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you your will. But he wants much fruit. He wants fruit. He wants more fruit. He wants much fruit. That's why Jesus Christ came. He wants to use you to impact the world for him. Jesus' purpose, his passion, his purpose, and his power was through this relationship with the Father. Now Jesus says, as I lived while I walked on earth by the Father, so you live by me. And I'll use you, and I'll get glory through you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. For Jesus Christ, as our example of abiding in the vine, as our example of a union communion relationship. Lord, forgive us in Jesus' name for the many things we made Christianity. Thank you for pushing the reset button tonight through these scriptures, Lord, in my own heart, in my own life. What it really means to know you. Lord, may we truly know you as Jesus knew the Father while he walked on earth. Thank you for his beautiful example that you have laid out before us in the beautiful word of God. And I pray, Father, that we would pay the price like Jesus did to truly know you. We would make sacrifice. We would surrender our will. We would bow our hearts and we would say, yes, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, that we would have our ears open towards heaven. to hear your voice, not only to hear, but to follow. Lord, that people's needs can be met. And Lord, that you could be glorified and you could be honored and your kingdom could be established and your kingdom could be built and the church could be built. And you would be glorified and you would be honored and you would be pleased with fruit, much fruit, more fruit, Lord, out of our lives, knowing that if we don't bear forth that fruit, you'll cut us off. Oh, Lord, how sobering. Lord, may we truly know you as our true Lord and Savior and walk as Jesus walked while he walked on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Perhaps from time to time, I'm trying to hear from the Lord if I should give an invitation or not. I asked Brother William. I didn't ask him this before. I'm trying to hear from the Lord. I don't believe in long invitations. An invitation is a time to respond to what God has already done. No need to preach it again and beg and plead, because if God has done his work, the opportunity is each one of your opportunity to respond if God spoke to your heart. If he didn't, amen. But if he did, an invitation is an opportunity to respond and make a commitment. So let's stand to our feet. Where's the chorister? Where's the chorister? Oh, right here he is. Do you have a song, brother?
Song of Faith and Praise, number 904.
904. Like I said, I'm not going to beg and I'm going to plead. If God spoke to your heart and you want to make a commitment to go deeper and walk as Jesus walked in a deeper, intimate relationship, or even respond to the call of the gospel in knowing him, maybe you never did, we're going to give you that opportunity. I'm going to sit down. We're going to sing a verse or two. And if God spoke to your heart and you want to respond, you respond. Let's sing.
Jesus, the cleansing fire, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?